If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program here on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, October the 28th, 2025. In studio with me is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
And good morning, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And in Kansas City, KS, is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How are you today?
Doing well. It's kind of a dreary day here in Tupelo. I don't know.
Listen, I got a question for you now. I want to know, how late did you stay up last night?
Funny you should ask. Because I wanted to put a disclaimer on the show for all our listeners today. Me personally, I'm not responsible for what I say or if I fall asleep during the show, because I did stay up till 1:15, I think it was, something like that, watching the World Series Game 3, because it was a classic game. I love the World Series. I don't care who's playing. The drama is just almost unmatched in sports because everything hinges on one pitch and this pitch and that pitch. Anyway, so just to set the scene, because we have the sound, right? Thanks for asking. I'll set this up. Am I the only one that stayed? What time did you go to? Were you watching? So Brent Creeley, our producer, Chris, were you watching?
No, I stopped watching MLB after it was apparent in May the Braves weren't going.
Okay, so you have a little bit of an attitude.
A little bit.
A little bitter. So you're not going to watch any teams. No, I'm just kidding. Fred, I know you're a hockey guy. Did you watch any of the World Series last night?
Well, even though the Blue Jays, Canadian team.
Yeah, they're Canada's team.
I cannot get beyond 8:30 or 9.
Okay.
Before
you have to go to bed.
That's right.
So you didn't watch any of it?
No, sir.
Okay. Ray, did you watch any of it?
I was watching Patrick Mahomes last night.
Oh, that might be night football.
I've heard of him. That guy's going places.
Okay. He's got a future.
We're going to stick with him.
Yeah. He's got a future. All right, then. I guess I'm the only one here on this panel that watched the game. Okay, so it's Game 3 of the World Series. It's the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays. And they're playing in Los Angeles. And the game is 5-5 after 9 innings. For those who don't know about baseball, you have 9 innings. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what inning is, I'm not going to waste our time here.
Too difficult.
Not going to waste our time, and you don't want me to. So they go to what's called extra innings in baseball. And in the World Series, the drama is, I mean, everything's just like, okay, this pitch, that ball, this hit, well, who's coming to the plate, all this stuff. So they go 5-5 through the 10th. Now, by this time, it's 10 o'clock Central Time, my time. Okay. They go to the 11th. They go to the 12th. They go to the 13th. Allison, she's a trooper. We're on the patio watching the game on our big screen TV. And we go to the 15th. I'm fading. Okay. Go to the 16th. 16th inning, 5-5. 17th inning, I said, I've got to go to bed. I hate to, but I got to leave you, honey. So I left her on the patio. 18th inning. I get up for just a minute. I say, who are you? Hey, who won? She goes, Freddie Freeman for the Dodgers. Hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about they played a doubleheader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess it got through somewhere around 1:30, Ray, Central time.
Yeah.
All right. So we have here, Brent Creeley, our producer, has the call. I don't know. What do you have?
It's his interview after the game is over. He's talking.
Freddie Freeman?
Yes, sir. I thought that was
okay,
what
well,
we needed.
Play it later.
Okay.
I didn't even heard it. I was talking about the call for the home run, if you have that. If you don't, okay. Well, that's anticlimactic right there. So you'll just have to take my word for it, people. Well, you know, you have to take my word for it. You take Allison's word for it.
Yeah.
Because she's the one that saw it live.
I watched the highlight.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, he's a Christian, right?
Yeah, Freddie Freeman is a well-known professional baseball player. Played for the Braves for many years as a first baseman.
Hit many a walk-off home runs.
Right. Braves. And then, like any good American athlete, he took the money and ran to Los Angeles and plays for the Dodgers. And this was he tied a record or either maybe set a record for walk-off home runs in the World Series, okay? Mm-hmm. Because he hit one against the Yankees last year in New York, and he hit one last night. He is a devout Christian, Freddie Freeman. And so we have the audio call from the game because Brent Creeley, our crack producer over here, he's not on crack. He just is able to. No, I saw. All right.
This is the ultimate setup.
Well.
Here.
All right, people, we can't start over on this show. So we're just going to have to go with it. Brent is feverishly working on finding that audio from the home run last night. I'm going to wait. I don't want to bring Frank on right now. I want to wait 1 or 2 minutes to see if we can find that. But this Otani, you heard of him, Ray?
Oh, yeah.
Baseball player?
It isn't. Don't some people think he's the greatest of all the current hitters?
Shohei Ohtani, yeah.
Oh, hitters, but he's also a major league pitcher.
Yes.
Okay.
He pitches tonight for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. This guy's from Japan, and he's one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know how you – baseball rankings are very subjective.
But there's no question. He's one of the greatest ever.
One of the greatest ever. Yeah, he's 31 years old. Doesn't speak English very well. He has to have a translator. Okay, Brent says he's got it. And so we're going to hear the call at 1:30 Central Time, 2:30 Eastern or something like that last night from Los Angeles. Go ahead.
Los Angeles. Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the catch strikes me.
You could hear the crack. I play that. I love that crack of the bat. Listen to the crack of the bat right there. That's beautiful sound right there.
It is.
Los Angeles. Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the catch strikes me.
So, that was Freddie Freeman hitting that home run, and he had almost hit another one earlier in the game. But that Otani, he hit two home runs last night. The Japanese fella.
Yeah.
Did I pronounce his name right?
Okay. You did.
Otani, and then he also got on base. After he hit his second home run, the manager for the Toronto Blue Jays said, "I'm not doing this again," and he walked him four times in a row.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. He walked him four times in a row instead of letting him hit again.
Yeah.
So he got on in one game. This player, Otani, got on 9 consecutive times.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is a World Series record, obviously. 9 consecutive plate appearances. He gets on base 9 times.
Yeah.
It was remarkable. Anyway, if you didn't see it, hope you got a little flavor of that. But that was a remarkable game. I hung in there.
Yeah.
So, till 1:30
I saw the Braves and Cubs in 98 in Turner Field. They went 15 innings. And then a few years ago, Mississippi State and Missouri went 17 innings in the SEC tournament. Those are two of the longest games I've seen.
You've ever seen. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening, Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. And we now have our good friend, Dr. Frank Turek, on from I guess Frank's at home in North Carolina. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. Baseball's too long already. 18 innings?
Yeah, 18 innings, one
game. Forget about it.
One game. And they have to play tonight, game four, and the pitcher will be the guy I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Ohtani, he's not too tired. No. He'd probably rather, like, don't walk me. I'm going to automatically strike out so I can rest on the bench.
He's taking, like, cat naps.
Well, we'll see how he does tonight. I don't know if he'll be mm-hmm. too tired, but everybody, all those guys will be tired. Of course, when you make millions of dollars, it helps your feelings. And
I'm happy to test that out.
Even if you get tired. Yeah, that's right. So, by the way, Frank, I wanted to mention one other story here before we move on. The situation with Jamaica, they are undergoing – do you know anybody in Jamaica?
I do not.
Okay. Ray, do you?
I don't. Have been to Jamaica.
You have?
Beautiful, beautiful island.
Yeah.
Wonderful,
have you been?
Wonderful people.
Frank, have you been to Jamaica?
I've not been to. You know, the one place I have not been to the Caribbean.
Okay.
Just haven't gone.
Well,
it's close.
As we speak, they are experiencing a Category 5 hurricane.
Oh.
Five. Mm-hmm. And it's just I saw some live camera video footage, and right, yeah. Fred, it's going to be. It's going to change Jamaica for 10 years.
You're talking close to 3 million people who live on that island.
Right.
Winds are topping out around 180 miles per hour. Rain, 20, 30 inches. The governor of the island, I'm not sure if that's the right title, he says there's not a single structure on this island that can take that kind of, sustain right. that kind of right. damage.
That's what, when you use the word catastrophic, this is with a capital C, and you already have a country that's poor, and the infrastructure, the buildings are not the best, not up to these U.S. standards.
Yeah.
And so I just ask people to pray for the poor folks there in Jamaica. I don't know what else to do. I know there'll be relief and aid forthcoming in the coming days and weeks, but an island like that, they'll to recover from something like that will be years and years.
I'm sure Samaritan's Purse will be there.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right away.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Those bad Christians, you know.
Mm. Yeah,
those mean old Christians who hate everybody just go around the world helping everybody they don't even know.
And their main industry is tourism.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, if the island is wiped out,
right,
as Sam is predicting, right. it's going to be years,
right.
before that industry
comes back,
can even come back.
I'm looking at Samaritan's Purse website right now, and they already have a post up saying "Pray for Jamaica as Hurricane Melissa roars across the island." Mm-hmm. I'll post that on our Facebook.
Yeah,
you know, that sounds a lot like, you remember when Andrew hit Florida in like 1992?
Mm.
It was 200 mile an hour winds.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't imagine the devastation. I remember seeing the picture and talking to people who lived in Homestead, Florida, which was took a direct hit from that Hurricane Andrew, as you're talking about there. Well, what do you want to talk about, Brother Frank?
Well, we could talk a little bit about Egypt. There's a story in the news about a fortress being discovered in Sinai. We were just in Egypt a little over a week ago. And people always tell you, you know, there's no Exodus or there's no evidence the Exodus ever occurred. Yeah, except all the evidence that says it did occur. You know,
I don't know enough about
this new one. It just came out. But
Well, I just saw it last night. I thought, well, we'd pitch it over to you, see if you'd heard anything about it. The story was, what was the story, Chris?
Yeah, it's from the Daily Mail, and I just posted it on our Facebook. Mysterious ruins found in Egypt offer new proof for the Bible story of Moses. Archaeologists in Egypt have uncovered the remains of a massive 3,000-year-old fortress along an ancient route many believe was traveled during the biblical Exodus.
I like the way you're doing your voice there.
Thank you very much, sir. I practiced on this in the car. Yeah, the stronghold recently unearthed in North Sinai lies directly on the fabled Horus Military Road, the same route the book of Exodus describes as the shorter path the Israelites avoided when Moses led them out of Egypt.
Okay, I didn't want you to talk necessarily about this specific thing because it's a brand new discovery, but I wanted you to talk, Frank, about your travels to Egypt. I know you've been to Israel and some other places in the Middle East and, having to do with evidence that supports historical and archaeological evidence that supports the scriptures.
Sure. Let's point out that the oldest inscription ever discovered of Yahweh has been found in Egypt.
Huh.
It's actually now modern Sudan, but at the time it was Egypt. The grandson of the Exodus Pharaoh, his name was Amenhotep III, put up a monument, among other monuments, that talked about the nomads of Yahweh. This is from 1400 BC. There are two of these inscriptions. Why is an Egyptian pharaoh talking about the nomads of Yahweh in 1400 BC? I remind you, the biblical date of the Exodus is 1446 BC. Why is he talking about a group of nomads worshiping Yahweh in Egypt? Because there must have been nomads worshiping Yahweh in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why. Also, a lot of people don't know about this, but there's been a papyrus discovered called the Ipuwer Papyrus, I-P-U-W-E-R. There's only one copy of this. It comes from Egypt. It comes from about the time of the Exodus. I'm just going to read a few excerpts from the Ipuwer Papyrus and see if this rings any bells. The river is blood, yet men drink of it. One thirsts for water. Pestilence is throughout the land. Blood is everywhere. Death is not lacking. Indeed, all animals, their hearts weep. Cattle moan because of the state of the land. Lo, trees are felled, branches strip. Birds find neither fruits nor herbs. It also says that certain gold and other stones are fastened on the neck of female slaves. Poor men have become owners of wealth, and he who could not make sandals for himself is now a possessor of riches. The land is without light. All is ruin. Indeed, that has perished which yesterday was seen. Groaning is throughout the land mingled with laments. Lo, many dead are buried in the river. The stream is the grave. The tomb has become a stream. And he who puts his brother in the ground is everywhere. Indeed, every dead person is a well-born man. Those who were Egyptians have become foreigners and are thrust aside. The children of princes are dashed against walls. What does all this sound like?
Exodus.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the plagues.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are the plagues written about from Egypt. Mm. And yet there are some scholars who are trying to say this has nothing to do with the plagues.
Wow.
One archaeologist from the Armstrong Institute, his name is Christopher Imes, wrote this about this. He said, researchers simply don't know the original dating for this document, the Ipuwer Papyrus. It varies across a span of six centuries, and the latter end of the date spectrum may indeed align with the events of the Exodus. And as shown above, this is from an article where he goes through some of this stuff, both documents, meaning the Exodus and the Ipuwer Papyrus, complement each other so well. A river that became blood, pestilence, crops, livestock, buildings devastated, fire and darkness, well-born offspring dying, lame duck magicians, slaves pillaging the riches of masters, and a shepherding people whose initial presence in the land culminated in cataclysm. How could this not refer to the same event?
Yeah. Hmm. That's amazing.
And right, go ahead. Say there's no evidence for the Exodus. Yeah. This is Egypt, ladies and gentlemen. Egypt. This is not from the Bible. This is from Egypt. And so,
hey, Frank, let me ask you a follow-up question right at this point. There are some on the, quote, left side of the evangelical spectrum, moving into liberalism, I suppose you'd say, who listen to what you're talking about and go, and they say, it doesn't really matter whether there was a literal Moses. It doesn't matter whether there were literal plagues. And it doesn't really matter if there was a literal miracle in the crossing of the Red Sea. What matters is that we know God delivered his people. And sometimes this is put in rather seductive language. What's at stake in whether or not we accept what the Bible says in the book of Exodus?
I would ask him, are you calling Jesus a liar? Huh. Mm. Because Jesus talked about Moses. He said, Moses wrote of me. What do you mean? Jesus is a liar now? Now, does every event of the Exodus have to be true in order for Christianity to be true? No, but it is. I mean, why would you deny it? Look, the reason I believe that the Old Testament is the Word of God is not just because we can find corroboration in archaeology and other papyri and all that. It's because Jesus predicted and accomplished his own resurrection from the dead, and there's very good historical evidence for that. And if Jesus predicted and accomplished his own resurrection from the dead, then he's God, and whatever God teaches is true. Jesus taught the entire Old Testament as the Word of God, and he promised the New Testament. So who am I gonna believe? Some liberal today who says, well, you know, the Exodus may not have occurred. Or am I going to believe the God of the universe who referred to Moses and said, Moses wrote of me?
Amen.
I'm gonna go with the God of the universe.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
It's corroborated. I mean, I could go through many more lines of evidence from Egypt that the Exodus really took place, but this is a short show.
And you've been over there, what, 2-3 times or more?
Yeah, we've been to Egypt a couple times in the past 10 months, actually. And by the way, if you want a cure for any leftist in America, I submit to you, you go to Egypt for a week. Or why don't you just go there for a year and see how well you live? You know what the average salary for an Egyptian worker is?
What?
$303 per month.
Wow.
Per month. And people are complaining about America
right. When
they have no idea how most of the rest of the world lives.
That's true. And Egypt would be considered probably, you know, middle of the road as far as a country in the world in terms of their economic situation.
I mean, it might be. Yeah, certainly in the Middle East.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and Israel has the top standard of living. Jordan's probably after that. And then those are the three countries we went to, Israel, Jordan, and Egypt.
Yeah, there's a reason why the world wants to come to, you know, to the U.S. and to the West.
Yeah, there are no caravans going to Venezuela. Have you noticed that? Why does everybody want to get in here?
That would be a great country song right there. There are no caravans going to Venezuela. All right.
Also, some of the great country songs of all time.
Yeah.
How can I miss you if you won't go away? I keep missing you, baby. But my aim's getting better.
that's even worse.
That's
you probably
right.
Need to let Frank go.
These are country songs,
classical country songs. All right, Frank, how can people keep up with your ministry? I know you. Let me tell folks, Frank's show airs Saturdays at 9:00 Central Time right here on American Family Radio. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, so Frank will be talking about this and other topics probably on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday we're going to be talking about both Moses and Joshua, and also Joseph. Evidence about how they all prefigure Jesus
on Saturday.
Saturday,
9:00, right here on this station.
Well, let me back that up. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about that, not on this station. On Saturday, we're going to be talking with the great Lucas Miles. He's got a great new book on the pagan influence into Christianity.
Wow. All right. Well, we look forward to that. And then Sunday, we will re-air. Sunday afternoon. What time is that, 4 Central?
4:00 Central.
All right. So I was going to read you this. Okay, so... You got it. We got time for this one joke. So Frank's got a joke, and I got a joke. Friend of mine. This guy sent me this joke. Friend of mine came to me, and said his wife is losing it. She left a note on the fridge door that said, "It's not working anymore. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to my mother's." He said he opened the door. Milk was cold. Butter was cold. It was working just fine. Does anybody not get that?
We get it.
You got it? Because I have to. If you got to explain the joke,
it's not really a joke.
It kind of loses its power.
Did you hear about the father who was injured in a horrific?
No, we didn't.
Peekaboo accident. Yeah, he's been in ICU for a week.
But a boom. All right, it's probably time to end this in this interview. Thank you, Frank.
Hey, Ohio State Monday night. Ohio State Monday night.
Okay, tell us and tomorrow we'll mention it again. Ohio State in Columbus. Okay.
In Columbus.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, we just met some fine listeners from Rockwall, Texas, who are passing through. Jerry and Kim Hunter. They stopped by to see us. They're on their way to Huntsville, Alabama. But they said they made it a point to come by and see us. They support us and pray for us, and we appreciate it. And if you want to visit our offices and studios here in Tupelo, Mississippi, we welcome you. You just got to let us know you're coming, because we like to know, you know, who's going to come to the building. Want to get in the doors and look around. So what do they need to do? They need to go to Brent, what do they need to do if they want to, if folks want to sign up to visit us sometime?
Go to afa.net/tours, fill out a form, and that goes to our front desk, and they'll get back with you.
Right. And if you give a $50 tip to Tim, that gets you first place right there in the door. No, I'm just kidding. No tip. No tip goes to me. All of us do, meet folks who listen to our radio network and who pray for us and support what we do. So that's what Jerry and Kim did. They stopped by to say hello from Rockwall. All right. So before Frank went on his merry way, I thought he was going to let Frank go, but he said Columbus. He said Ohio State, and I wanted him to tell folks where he's going to be, because we have a lot of listeners in Ohio, and we have two stations in the Columbus area. So, Frank, tell our folks where you're going to be and how they can sign up, or what do they need to do?
Yeah, this is going to be this coming Monday night, November 3rd. We're going to be in Columbus at Ohio State. Let me get the exact room number and all that. I think they just need to get there early if they want to make sure they get in.
The seating's limited? Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's 1,000 seats, but we don't know what kind of turnout right. we're going to get. The title of what we're talking about is If God, Why Evil? A Q&A in honor of my friend Charlie Kirk. So I'm going to be talking about why would God allow such evil to occur, and then we're going to take a lot of questions related to that and other issues as well. People can ask any question they want.
So what do people need? Can they go to your website?
They can. They can go to crossexamined.org and click on events. They'll see it there. We are going to, let's see, what was the room number he said? It's going to be on our...
you got to have a building. A room number doesn't help if you don't have a building.
It is in a building. I know that. Yeah, it's not...
It's in a building?
It's in a building. It's not an outdoor event.
Is it on the campus at Ohio State?
It is on the campus. It's going to be in the Archie M. Griffith Grand Ballroom, I believe.
You know who Archie M. Griffin is, don't you?
Archie Griffin, yeah, he used to be running back.
Yeah, he two-time Heisman Trophy winner.
It's
back
gonna
to
be,
back.
It's going to be a 7 p.m., I believe.
Mm-hmm. When, tomorrow?
That's going to be Monday.
So Monday, Frank will be in, if you live in Columbus or near Ohio State University and you want to drive over and meet Frank, see him, and participate in this program that he's going to be hosting, then go to his website, crossexamined.org and click on events, and he'll it'll tell you where he's going to be on campus there. All right, Frank, take care, my friend. See ya.
Thank you so much. Hope to see you guys. And by the way, it'll also be live stream, so if you can't make it there, it'll be on our YouTube channel at that time.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Right. That's Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. Frank's also going to be at Alabama, Tuscaloosa, University of Alabama at Tuscaloosa sometime soon. Mm-hmm. So I'll get him to tell us about that next week. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. And I asked Walker to come in the studio, Walker Wildman, my youngest of three. And he is also vice president here in American Family Association. Don't know how he got that job.
exactly. We'll have to ask around.
He kind of had an inside track on that position. But Walker, we had some great news that we're just releasing publicly. Tell folks about it.
Yeah, just yesterday morning, American Family News published an op-ed that I wrote on developments regarding Apple Corporation and an agreement basically we reached with Apple to better protect minors on the Apple devices. So AFA has been engaging in a corporate shareholder engagement. And many folks have heard me talk with Jerry Boyer and Rob West on AFR over the last 2 years regarding this. But we've been showing up at corporate shareholder meetings, presenting proposals, pro-family, pro-child proposals with these various corporations, many of them tech companies. And so as part of our negotiations with the Apple Corporation, we noticed, as we began to do our due diligence, we noticed that there were some pretty serious vulnerabilities, if you will, for children on Apple devices. And one of them being when a teenager turns 14 and they're age 14 to 17 using an Apple device, 13 and below, you cannot view pornographic images on an Apple device. It has a feature, a safety feature that blocks the image. You can't even override it. With a teenager age 14 to 17, we noticed there was a different standard on Apple devices as we began to talk to Apple and look at their policies. And what we found is that they were treating 14 to 17-year-olds different than they were 13 and below. And so teenagers age 14 to 17 could view pornographic text messages and videos on Apple devices without parental consent, without parental knowledge, which was a big, big red flag that we saw. So as part of our shareholder proposal process, we were looking at a lot of different issues. And so we basically told Apple, hey, if you guys are serious about protecting children and you want to show a good faith effort to do such, then you need to fix this loophole here and make it to where all children below 18, 17 and under are protected from pornographic and explicit images on their iPhone, on their Apple device. And so after about a year of negotiations and meetings with Apple, they actually came through and made the fix. And so we met with them last week, and they announced these changes. And so all children under the age of 18, so all legal minors, will now be protected on Apple devices. One other change I'll mention, and then y'all can ask some questions or we can talk more about this. One other change is prior to our discussions with Apple, so in previous years, children could view adult-rated applications, mobile apps, in the App Store. They could view them. They couldn't download them because of the child safety features, but they could still view them, which didn't make any sense. So we brought up to Apple that loophole, that vulnerability, and said, hey, guys, if a child can't download the adult-rated app, they don't even need to be able to see it in the App Store. And so Apple made that change as well to where all children can't even see or have visibility into adult-rated mobile apps. And so those two victories are a really big deal, and millions of kids are going to be protected now on Apple devices.
Walker, my question would be, and I wondered in your early discussions with Apple, did they try to justify the 14 to 17, we think it's okay for them to view this, or was it just, did they say, it was an oversight?
Yeah, they were very tight-lipped in our meetings as far as getting into kind of their reasoning behind their policies. But I think what was abundantly clear is that they were trying to create kind of this secondary category of like half adult, right? Between once you get into your teenage years and before you become a legal adult, there's kind of this hybrid approach to teenagers, age 14 to 17, most of your high schoolers. And so it was clear that their policies were heavily tailored in that manner, as if there should be multiple standards for underage children. So we made the case that, hey, look, according to state law in all 50 states, you have to be 18 to be a legal adult. And so there's no reason that we should then break up children, whether they're teenagers or younger. We shouldn't break them up as to how we protect them on these devices. We should just treat all minors the same.
Okay.
All right. Well, this is big news. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely a big deal. And we congratulate the Apple company for doing the right thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, do you have any questions regarding this at all?
You know, Walker, let me just follow up on the other question. We all wonder, I mean, from a distance. I've never sat down with the executives of some big multinational corporation. I mean, Apple's one of the biggest companies in the world. What's it like on a personal basis when you're talking to these people from Apple? Are they polite? Are they distant? Are they crude? Do they talk down to people like us here at AFA? What's the mood like in the room at that moment?
Yeah. So we've had three meetings with Apple executives. And when I say Apple executives, one of the gentlemen on the call was one of their senior lawyers. So he was their corporate lawyer overseeing all of their corporate lawyers. And so, and then their investor relations team was on the call as well. So they handle all the investor relations meetings. But Apple was surprisingly one of the more positive calls. Even when we weren't getting concessions, they were still very cordial and very understanding of our positions. And so Apple, surprisingly, to be as big as they are, to be, you know, mostly on the West Coast, Silicon Valley type company, they were very, very understanding of our positions, very respectable in their communication. And clearly, this, we had indications last year that they were possibly moving this direction, because they released a software update in Australia, only in Australia, that addressed some of the issues we brought up with them. And so they said, hey, you know, we're rolling this out in Australia. Basically, we're going to test this there to see how it goes. And then before we know it, 12 months later, they're doing it here in the U.S. and across the world with their updated software. So Apple's moving in the right direction. And when it gets down to it, there's these some of these things are very indefensible, right? When you point out that a 14-year-old can view pornography without their parents knowing on an Apple device, it's like nobody can really make a good argument why that shouldn't be addressed. And so I think it's just a matter of pointing out the vulnerabilities, making the case why we need to protect children. And once you do that, a lot of these companies have a really hard time fighting off against that.
Also, just on a related issue, I know we worked on this, what I'm about to talk about, and many others did too. That is, these laws that have been enacted across many states, many red states, prohibiting the access of pornography on the internet by minors.
Yeah.
And that was upheld by the Supreme Court, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and to your point, the approach we're taking here is a multifaceted approach. And so we've got our policy team, Dr. Jamison Taylor, and those folks over at AFA Action. They're working on legislation like that, age verification legislation to prevent minors from accessing pornography online. And there's also some age verification laws on social media use, where you have to show that you're an adult or get parental approval to have a social media accounts in some states. So, yeah. But that's, to your point, that type legislation is adding pressure to companies like Apple,
right.
Where they're looking at this going, guys, we've got to do something.
I just want to point out that there have been a handful of organizations for 10 years or so that have started to do the corporate engagement stuff. You know, the National Center for Public Policy Research is one of them. ADF got involved in Alliance Defending Freedom now has the Viewpoint Diversity Score Index, which is a counter to the HRC stuff. Mm-hmm. And now we're involved here. So our entry into this is only going to add to the amount of corporate engagement out there from social conservatives. This won't be the last time we talk about something like
that. Yeah. And so the important thing is, if you can get, if you buy stock in a company, you can have a voice in their policy. It may not be heard very much, but in this case, Apple did listen to us. But if you buy stock in corporations, you can go to shareholders meetings. You can some vote by proxy. You can have, there's a lot of things you can do to make a difference in terms of their corporate policy. And oftentimes they don't hear from conservatives. Mm-hmm. And in this case, we're making a difference from a conservative perspective. And in this case, just a common sense protect children perspective. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Walker. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
That's Walker Wildman joining us. Walker will be on this afternoon. Yes. Okay. From 1 to 2 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. Walker will be on with his program. Tim, here with Fred. Fred, what's the next? Or Chris, who has the next story
well,
here?
I'll mention this because it's probably not the last scam we need to alert our listeners and viewers on. There's a New York Post story out where they're claiming this is an exclusive. It's about a, quote, terrifying high-tech bank scam that drains your life savings in seconds, and devastated victims are sounding the alarm. In this story, the New York Post interviewed a young man, 33 years old, last name Phillips, and basically he got a phone call, and it was from somebody spoofing his actual bank. There's some technology out now that allows you to call somebody under the guise of another organization.
Yeah, let me explain real quickly as we go along here what spoofing is. Mm-hmm. So spoofing would be, let's say you get a phone call, and it appears to be from your bank. Mm-hmm. So it will say whatever your bank name is. And so what I'm saying is that may not necessarily be your bank.
Correct.
It may be somebody, what's called spoofing, that is falsely identifying the phone call. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So this gentleman here, go ahead, continue on.
So he gets a call from somebody claiming he's from his bank, in this case, Chase Bank, and he claims there's been fraudulent activity on this person's account. And through a process of a conversation, he basically ended up giving this person some information that allowed them to access and just wipe out his bank account.
Yeah, I just, Ray, you just got to be very, very careful and be suspicious of everything. Fred, you said, before Ray answers that, you said to me before the show, you don't trust anything anymore.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
And if, you know, in this case, if you got a phone call and it was ID'd as your bank, mm-hmm. I would say, okay, I'll come down to the office and talk to you.
Yeah. You just come down to the bank, a branch of the bank, or call them back, not necessarily that number, but call the official number of the bank.
But first of all, do not give them any information. Do not give your bank account number. Do not give the last four digits of your social, anything of that nature. You know, your mother's maiden name.
Right.
These are some of the questions they'll ask.
They're tricking you by making you think they're helping to protect you from tricksters.
Yes.
It's very deviant, Ray.
Yes.
This very thing, the exact thing you're talking about, happened to us not this many weeks ago. As it happens, almost word for word, verbatim, what you're saying, we got a call like that. And somebody saying we are from such and such bank, happened to be our bank, and there has been suspicious, fraudulent activity, and went, you know, the whole spiel. We wanted to know birth dates, wanted to know I wanted to know the social security number. Just give us that and we're going to follow up on everything, and we're going to make sure this is all right. Well, thank goodness we figured it out in time. But we ended up going online, and one of the things you can do is there are these credit reporting agencies like Experian and TransUnion and so on, where they check your credit scores.
Yeah.
We found out that the bad guys, and I'm not even sure how to explain how this following thing actually happened, but they had set up an account in our name, fraudulent account, had put money into it, had taken money out of it, if that makes any sense, and then it closed it down, all without any knowledge of us whatsoever, preparatory, I think, to doing something much bigger. So we got in touch with somebody who does this for a living, who, I don't mean a bad guy, I mean a good guy, stopping the bad guys.
Protect you against identity theft.
That's exactly right. And he said, freeze your accounts at these different credit unions. And that's what we've done. We've had no problem since then. But, Tim, here's the thing. they prey on people, certainly not like you, Tim, right. not like you, Fred, not like you, Chris, but guys like me.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, sometimes people hear or read these stories and they're like, who falls for this stuff? It's 2025, but millions of people still do.
Especially seniors, especially yeah. senior adults
yeah.
who, look, I'm fairly familiar with the internet because I live on it, right?
Right.
But there's a lot of guys my age in the early 70s, they're not real comfortable with it. So when you get a call and they know your name and they say they're from your bank and they blah, 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 blah.
That wouldn't work.
Be careful out there.
The bank thing wouldn't work with us because we bank local. And yes. I could see, but if you don't, you know, if you use a national bank, a Chase Bank or somebody like that.
And we do because we travel so much,
right.
You know,
and right.
That, so, that gives you great flexibility. But if you said to me, Ray, who's the head of the,
right.
The local head of the bank where you, right. I don't know.
Right. The other thing is, there's three main ways where the scamming goes on: text messages, uh-huh. emails, and phone calls.
Yeah,
and the text and the emails, don't click on links on there.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you got somebody who says they're calling from your credit card company, you hang up, and they may be, sometimes they're legit. We've had people, credit card company. You can sort of usually, that doesn't help anybody. Unless you're absolutely sure that you're talking to your credit card company, you need to hang up and call the number on the back of the card.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way to know for sure you're talking to your, to the real representatives from your credit card company. But also, just as a note, when you do plan to travel, we always tell people who go with us to the Holy Land in March every year, we tell people you need to let your credit card company know mm-hmm. you're going to be traveling abroad, because if you don't, when you get over there, they're going to stop you from using it
yeah.
you know, until you let them know.
Yeah, and most places over there, a majority of places over there do take a credit card.
But you need to let your credit card company know, hey, this is me. I'm going to be traveling in Israel or England or Canada or wherever, so that they know that, because it'll flag activity if you're 1,000 miles away from your home or whatever. To keep it from being, the credit card company thinks it's maybe stolen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Also, I want to cover this at some time, too. We don't have time today, and I don't really fully understand it, but I'm hearing more about these people who have their deeds to their home stolen or something like that, their title deeds.
Yeah, basically, yeah. they have the home ownership jerked out from under them, unbeknownst to them.
Yeah, I want to know how that works and how you can keep that from happening, because that sounds like, huh?
Yeah, the yeah. problem is today that so much of your life is out there digitally. Mm-hmm. You know,
everybody's information's exposed now. There's data breaches every single day.
Yeah, it's scary.
And you go like, you know, how does this company get a data breach? And now all your Social Security, your address, your email, everything's exposed on the internet, you know, out there everywhere. So,
well, there was that scam a few weeks ago, and we talked about this. If you travel and all of a sudden you get a notification that, you know, you were caught speeding, and you need to click on this and pay your speeding ticket.
Yes.
And it's a scam.
It's a scam.
Yeah.
Also, we've talked about this, the fake toll.
Yes.
you passed a toll bridge or toll and you didn't pay, and you need to pay. And that's evidently working quite well across around the world.
Including in places that don't have toll roads. That's what's amazing to me.
I know, but it is working. It must be working because the scammers still be... Mm-hmm. are still using it. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Yep. Chris, what's next story here?
Well, one other thing. We have this on our website, and people can go read it at afn.net. Amazon is cutting 14,000 corporate jobs 14,000 corporate jobs. This is about 5% of their corporate workforce at Amazon. And what's interesting with this situation is Amazon cuts 14,000 corporate jobs as spending on artificial intelligence accelerates. So nowadays, it's not just blue-collar jobs being cut or threatened because of AI. You've got white-collar jobs at one of the world's biggest companies being threatened by AI. This will not be the last corporation we talk about.
Yeah, Amazon says as part of their press release this morning that they hired a bunch of people during COVID because, you know, millions more people used Amazon during COVID because they didn't want to go out and shop at the brick and mortar stores. But now they're dealing with this. But also, they want to get more involved with AI, using AI in their business. And that's just coming like a storm. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen just the tip of the iceberg on how AI is going to be used.
Yeah. Ray, have you studied this much?
You know, it's coming, right?
Yeah.
The AI revolution, people say, well, it's here. Yeah, it's here. But the biggest part, the culture-changing part, I think, is yet to come.
Oh, yeah.
When you have people like Bill Gates and you have people like Elon Musk and other people who are intimately involved with computers and technology and internet, there are others too that I just can't think of off the top of my head. And I don't know if Bill Gates has warned against this, but I think he has. But I know Elon Musk has about AI mm-hmm. and the dangers of what may lie ahead yeah. in terms of artificial intelligence. Now, there's a lot of good stuff. Almost with, as with every technology, there's good and bad, right?
Yeah.
So, we will be back after this timeout for news. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Steve Paisley-Jordahl will be making his way over here. We'll talk to Steve and continue with our discussion in a few moments.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.